Baptismal Discourse.
Well, brethren, I think we all rejoice every time there's an immersion. We enjoy coming together and not just welcoming our new brethren, but renewing our own consecration vows and seeing how they apply to us, as every day we must seek to walk closer with the Lord. Our comments today are for all of us, but they're particularly for John and Joanne. So I hope you'll pardon me if I turn and speak more directly to them. Brother John and Sister Joanne, we welcome you to this great decision you've made in your life, and we know that the Lord will bless you in it because He's blessed all of us. My mind goes way back to the Old Testament days when King David was on the throne of Israel. He had one big goal: to build his God a temple, a place for worship. It was not to be. But he did all he could. He gathered all the material. He gathered gold for the things of gold. He gathered silver for the things of silver. He gathered wood. He gathered it all together. And then, as he neared his death, he talked to the people and he said, "I have gathered gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver. Who will consecrate himself this day to the work of the Lord?" That's the question you've answered. John, I know you've been consecrated for a few years. Joanne, probably also. You're dedicated Christians. Now you're symbolizing that. You're showing to your brethren here the decision you've made. And that's a wonderful step to make. As David's goal was to build a temple, so the Lord has given you the job. A job to build him a temple. A temple starts with the temple of your bodies. But it's larger than that. It's to build a house of worship. The temple was to be a temple for all the people. Your lives are to be a life, not just for yourself, but to learn to have a life that will help others to worship God throughout the ages to come, throughout eternity. And to that end, the Lord is going to give you experiences. I know John a little better than you, Joanne, but I know you both a little bit. John, I know you've been going through heavy trials recently. And those trials are great. Those trials are for the development of your soul and your heart. Those trials are to help you become one who can understand the problems of mankind. Joanne, you likewise love equal trials. I was thinking last night how your names, John and Joanne, have the same meaning. Joanne is really John, the female form of John. It means the grace of God. And by the grace of God, you're here. It's only His grace that can lead you through. Is that grace that the two of you need to depend on. In the building of this temple, it will require a attention to doing the will of the Lord. That's the basic commitment. Lo, I have come to do thy will, O my God. Both of you have come from different backgrounds. Both of you have come through various religious experiences. The Lord has led you from those experiences to greater and deeper insights into His Word. But don't stop. You have much more to learn. Keep studying the Word of God. Keep identifying not only what His plan is, but the expression goes we all like to use so well here. It's the divine plan of the ages, and you are in it. Realize the part that you got to play. That part is going to deal with your own lives. It's going to deal with trying to find the Christian principles that operate those lives. And as you see a principle in the Bible, it's going to mean applying that principle in your life, doing it, seeking to change your life, not be what you are, not even be, John, what you want to be, but be what He wants you to be. And Joanne, identically, trying to locate what the Lord would have you do, taking each day, at the end of that day, evaluating, what did the Lord teach me today? What have I learned? Look back, and Joanne and John, you're going to make mistakes along the way. As soon as you realize those mistakes, tell the Lord, "I'm sorry." A just man falls 7 times and rises again. And you'll fall more than 7, because we all do. He'll teach you not only the things to learn in your own individual life, He'll teach you more about His plan of the ages. He'll teach you how, and so much as you already know, When he came at Calvary, died at Calvary, died for all men's sins. For all men's sins. Now, there is a plan that has a place for you as potential members of his bride, his church, and that is to be of assistance to mankind. Apostle Peter summed it up well in 1 Peter 1:9. He said, receive the end of your faith, the salvation of souls. Not the salvation only of your own soul, but the salvation of all souls. Being able to identify with mankind, learn what man's going through. When they sorrow, sorrow with them. When they rejoice, rejoice with them. When they stumble, hold out a helping hand. When you stumble, others will hold out a helping hand to you, and you will need that helping hand. One thing that I know has rejoiced John's heart, and I think it's rejoiced Joanne's as well, is the concept of the two salvations. The concept that we don't have a we them, we who are saved and they who will never be saved, but it's all of us. Always realize that that is the most optimistic thing in the world. And to develop that love in your heart that prompted God to love even the sinners of this world, even those who are so steeped in sin that it seems they'll never recover. But love never fails. Love will seek a way to recover. God will have all men to be saved, saved from Adamic death, and then, throughout his kingdom, come to a knowledge of the truth. And that coming to a knowledge of the truth is the role you play in helping them. But in order to teach them, you've got to learn yourself. What is truth? It's a lifelong commitment to the study of God's Word. It's a lifelong commitment to the doing of His will. A temple is a place for sacrifice. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. It's your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, and I'm asserting a word here, that you may discover what is the pure, the perfect, the holy will of God. It must come through that discovery. You'll need your brethren. You need to talk to brethren. You need to communicate. In the multitude of counsel, there is much wisdom. Seek out those who differ from you. Seek out those who may have a different opinion. Discuss with them the scriptures that pertain. Give them the scriptures to support your idea. Listen to what they have to say. And then grow, grow, grow. And you grow by practicing every day the application of truth. As the Lord deals with you personally and individually, you're going to need to feel more and more a dependability you have, a reliability upon Him. John, you're quite young. You're just entering your 20s. And at that stage, it's very natural for us to think, I know. And now you have to learn what you don't know. And you have to learn to grow into that. And there's humility. Right now on Wednesday nights in the class, we're studying the Beatitudes. And they present beautiful steps to the growth of your consecration. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the first place to start. The realization that you need somebody else. You don't have enough in yourself. That you are not able to produce your own salvation. That you have to have a full reliance upon God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The primary mourning here is the mourning for your own sin. The realization after you recognize how humble you are and how empty you are and how much you need filling of the Spirit, to realize that what you've done wrong and your path of wrong, and to seek to go back and to correct anything you can correct. But then to leave the rest with the Lord And as you mourn in repentance, then you will find the comfort. The Lord said, I forgive. And accept the forgiveness. Sometimes it's difficult to accept forgiveness. Almost more harder than to give forgiveness. Sometimes we feel that we've done something so wrong that even God can't forgive us. He can. He will. He does. That forgiveness is guaranteed and it's promised. But we must learn to accept it. And we must learn to honestly be sorry for those things. Not sorry we got caught, but sorry we did it. The need to correct. Blessed are the meek. Now you need to learn to be teachable. Having to have the humility of heart, you need the humility of mind to say, I need to rethink my thoughts. I need to get a new mindset. A mindset that is based on spiritual values and not earthly values. Earthly values look for prosperity. Look for success in life. Look for security. Look for comfort. Look for pleasure. Look for ease. Spiritual values look for others. They don't look inwardly, they look outwardly. Spiritual values look upward. Job, in his worst trouble, said, I looked to the right hand, and I could not find God. I looked to the left, and he was not there. I looked forward, but I could not see him. I looked behind, and God was not to be discovered. You look those directions, and you won't find him either. You must look upward. Look upward at all times, realizing in meekness that you need to learn his will and do his will. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not just desire more information, but hunger for it. Not hunger for knowledge. You should hunger for that. But hunger for righteousness. That's the object of knowledge. The object of knowledge is to take what you have learned and apply. And you want it so much that you're like a starving person. You'll beg for it. You'll ask for it. You'll seek it. You look under the rocks. Look wherever it is. Look for that knowledge. Look for his will. Look for what the principles are. Those principles are embodied in all of the Ten Commandments. Those have spiritual applications in your life. Applications of your rules toward God, reverence, respect him above all others, but applications to your fellow man as well. And all of them go down to one word, respect. Respect others. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's the object. The object of our whole Christian life is to be a peacemaker. Eventually, to be a peacemaker of a reconciling man to God. But even now, to speak those words of peace. Peace that first brings man to God, and peace that brings man closer to each other. When two pilgrims walk down the road, they used to do in Israel, when they went to Jerusalem, to the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Passover, they would come over the country. And as they neared Jerusalem, their paths would converge. They were coming to one common goal. That's what you see here in this audience. We're aiming for one common goal. We're coming at different paces, from different directions. But as we come closer and closer, we're coming not only at peace with God, we're coming at peace at heart with each other. Because you realize not the faltering steps, but the goal, the aim that's in each life. And it's that aim, that goal, that great object that each one has of trying to find and apply the Lord in their lives to help others. That enables you to bring peace and speak those things that produce peace one with another. Blessed are you when all men revile you. When you persecute for righteousness' sake. John, you know what it's like to be misunderstood. You've been misunderstood at times. Forgive those who misunderstand you. Seek to correct the misunderstandings. Seek to show that there's no harm, no feeling against you. Bless those that persecute you. Joanne, you'll find times when people are going to say things against you. When people are going to think you've done the wrong thing. And it's going to hurt the most, not when those of your acquaintances in the world, but those here are the brethren. when they say things that may hurt you, they don't mean it. They mean to help you. To realize that. To realize that all who may speak an evil word, unkind word, are not speaking it because they want to, but speaking it because they feel compelled in their heart to do so. They may be wrong. Evil speaking is wrong. But that's not your problem. That's between them and the Lord. Your problem is to give them the forgiveness that God has given you for things you come short, and to not do the same things yourself, to follow the principles of righteousness. The Christian life consists of many aspects. One of these aspects we've touched upon is study. Try to get to begin to be with the brethren, to study with them, to share your thoughts with them, to hear their thoughts. Appreciate the helps the Lord has given you. He's given you, but above all, 66 books, the books of His Word. He's given you other helps. He's given you concordances. He's given you dictionaries. He's given you the Bible Scripture studies that we've all found so helpful. He's given you the Chart of the Ages, which helps shows it out under the plan. Appreciate the beauties as you study those things and make those a part of your life. Study should be a great part. Every day, and I know John won't have been really doing this, I'm sure you did too, John. Every day, spend some time in studying the Lord's Word. Read the Scriptures regularly. Read the Scripture studies regularly. Study those things that will help you grow. Study also means communication. Whatever means you have, John, you use the internet a lot. Use the internet for communication with other Christians. Share your thoughts. Listen to their thoughts. When somebody expresses a thought you don't believe, listen. Paul, when he got to Europe for the first time, first person he met was Lydia. And he praised her because she had an open ear. She heeded things that were said. Paul praised the church at Berea. He said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they heard the word and study the Word of God daily to see whether these things are so. Check that out. Christian life, though, is more than study. The Christian life involves service. Try to find some way that the Lord would have you serve. It's interesting that in Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse talks about consecration. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The second verse talks about a new mindset. Transform yourselves so that you may know what God's will is. And then the third verse, 3 to 7, he talks about evaluation. Looking at what you have to offer, looking at how God is leading you, and say, what could I do to fit into this plan? What are the talents that God has given me? Each have talents. Take these talents and use them. I love the statement in one of the Watchtower articles, when it said, and Joanne, I quoted this Tuesday night, so you've heard it before, it is important that every Christian, male or female, use the talents which nature and education have provided them. Find some way to put those talents to use. Use them to serve others. Try to be involved in your service, not just only in looking for ways to help other brethren. That is important. That's pretty good. But helping all mankind. And do that, the one thing you've got to help mankind the most are words of truth. Therefore, be active in witnessing. Talk to others about it. Wear God on your forehead. After all, that's where the seal comes in. The seal of the living God will be seen. It starts in the heart, but it must become on the forehead so that all men can see it. Back in the 1960s, when our country was going through a lot of turmoil because of the Vietnam War and war protests, there was a statement that was made. Even bumper stickers were made on it. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Give the evidence. Let yourself show the evidence that you are a Christian. Show it by your actions, show it by your words, show it by your tone, show it by your whole attitude. And attitude is a lot of it. an attitude of desire to do God's will, an attitude of willingness to be helped to others, an attitude of respect, an attitude of forgiveness, an attitude of humility. All of these are parts of the Christian attitude. The Christian life also consists in understanding where you are in the stream of time. Because only as we understand what God is doing today can we cooperate today with that same work. And I think we can all realize from the papers alone that we're going through a great transition period. We believe that the Lord has begun the process of going from the old order to the new order. And in that order, there's a tearing down process. That's one of the objects of the Lord's return. The Lord's return is for the purpose of tearing down the nations, of bringing back Israel. You see those things going on. As you see them going on, be a beacon light to a troubled world. Because they don't see, they see what's going on, but they don't see what part it plays. They don't see the incoming golden age. It's like the bug on the rug. A bug crawls through a rug and he sees his immediate environment. And if he's in one of those Persian rugs, he might go from blue to purple to, that's all he sees is the color around him. Be like the bird that soars over the rug. You got the pattern. You see the outline. You see what's going on. That becomes part of your mission, to share that outline with others. Try to always find ways to create opportunities for fellowship. Fellowship is very essential. As you have the opportunity to be with brethren, and especially in a non-church setting, in the setting of your own homes, in the setting of whatever medium you find to communicate, learn to know who they are. Learn to know, excuse the colloquialism, but what makes them tick, what their goals are, what their aims are. By doing that, you begin to understand how they operate. The Apostle Paul said, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And that word consider in the Greek means study deeply. Study one another. One of the things you find in studying others is that each of us here, this audience, others you meet, we have certain trigger words. You say certain words, they have one meaning to me, they may have a different meaning to you. Learn how they use it. Be sensitive to that. Use those words that will produce the results of communicating understanding and not misunderstanding. We each have emotions. Emotions that are easily touched and easily stirred. And try to avoid doing that. You know, they say a ship that's going on a sea, a sailboat, if it were to turn go the opposite direction, it would capsize. But it goes what they call tacking. It slowly turns in incremental steps until it's made a full circle. And so it is with us and with our dealings with others. Don't expect another to turn to your way, but learn to tack. Or to spell a different way, to use tact. To use sensitivity to how others feel. And realizing that their sensitivities differ from yours. And brethren, as we look around and we see John and Joanne, let us develop a sensitivity to them. We need to have that same sensitivity that looks at them and tries to see how they feel. And doesn't try to push, but to slowly help correct, help understand. And maybe we need the correction. That's part of the whole process of dealing one with another, is to realize that there are times we need correction as well as the ones we think need it. We may be the ones at fault. Yes, John and Joanne, you're taking a big step. Taking the biggest step you'll make in your life. Even bigger, John, than the step you're thinking of taking in marriage. This is even more important. This is a deeper marriage. This is a marriage to the Lord. And that vow must come as your top vow in your life. And Joanne, your vows to the Lord are the greatest things you have. Never look at them slightingly. Look at them seriously. But don't look at them so seriously that you become so introspective that you get discouraged. Because the Lord is judging you not upon your deeds, but upon your intentions. Again, the Apostle Paul's words, if there be first a willing mind, it is accorded to a man but what he has, and not what he has not. But that is no excuse. Don't take the grace of God in vain. Realize that he's giving you leeway to develop. But he's not there to say, do what you want. I'll forgive. He's expecting you to do the best you can, to learn from your mistakes and to grow from them. At the conclusion of the service, John and Joanne, I'm going to ask you three questions. And I want you to realize what these questions mean, what the answers to the questions mean. They sound simple, but they're not really that simple. They're reflective questions. The first one is, do you recognize that as a child of Adam, you're a member of a fallen race and possess no good within yourselves, but only the grace of God gives it to you? That question is more of an intellectual assent to the fact that you're a sinner. We all are. But it means also in that I recognize that where I have come short, I want to change. I recognize that I've fallen astray. I don't have the power. I need his help. It recognizes the need to dependency, but also recognizes the need for a resolute will to seek out and do what the Father wants. Second question I'm going to ask you, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Easy question. Easy to assent to. But it doesn't mean only do you recognize that he died in Calvary's Hill. Well, it means that. But it means also that you have a reliance, that you have an advocate with the Father. John said, my little children, see that you sin not. But if any man sin, and I'm going to rephrase that, but when any man sins, because you will. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's there, but you must rely upon that. Do you recognize him as your personal Savior? Not just as the Savior of mankind, but your personal Savior. He died for your sins, not just past, but to be an advocate for those sins present and those future. Third question I'm going to ask is, have you made a full consecration of your life to the Lord? Again, a simple question. I know your simple answer, because I know you both well enough to know you have. But what does that mean? It means with our opening hymn, and unfortunately, Joanne, you didn't hear the opening words, but hymn 277, look it over, read it often. Take my life, and let it be ever only, Lord, for thee. Take my lips, take my intellect, take my money, take everything. All I can give to thee is only all that I have. And all that I have is not much. The Lord is there. So the Lord is there to help you too. He promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love the way the Greek has that scripture. I will never, never leave you. I will not let you down. Five negatives. And negatives in the Greek are not like the English that cancel each other. They multiply, they build, they show the tremendous assurance. It's the same assurance that Paul had when he wrote, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I spent the last half hour talking to the two of you. Excuse me, I'm going to talk to everybody here. Brethren, not only have John and Joanne taken this opportunity to symbolize their immersion of consecration to the Lord, but the two things it tells us, have we done the same? Oh, I'm sure we'll always all have. Are we doing the same? Is it as current today as it was the day that we sat in a similar position in the front seats and answered the same questions? Are we still relying on the Lord in our lives? Are we still being led? Are we still having the humility and the meekness to learn new things and develop new things, new traits? Are we having a commitment to utilize all our days and all our hours, all our being's ransom powers? I think we all have to admit that if life goes on, it's easy for us to fall into ruts. I fall into my ruts, and I think you fall into your ruts at times. Get out of the rut. Let's get back to it. Let's put our backs to I forget the expression now. Let's get busy. Let's get busy doing His will. That's what's important. But the other thing is we need to make a commitment today. Joanne and John have made a commitment to the Lord, a commitment to you in your midst, to not only serve the Lord, but be your brother and sister, be your brother and sister. Today you have the opportunity to welcome them, offer them the right hand of fellowship, and be their brother and sister. And that means that you'll look upon the new creature, not upon the old. That means you'll judge them by their intents, not their actions. That means that you'll look at them in the long-range picture of what God is developing in them, and not what they are today. That means we'll recognize that they will stumble, and they will fall, and they'll make mistakes. And that we're there not to criticize them, but to give the helping hand to pick them up, to lend them the assistance needed. That means that we pledge to them that as they are pledging to us to be our brother and sister in Christ, so we'll pledge to them to be their brother and sister in Christ. That's a responsibility we all need to take. And take that willingly and take it wholeheartedly. Joanne and John, would you stand, please? Having come to this position today, I want to ask you those three questions I talked about. Do you, Joanne, and you, John, recognize that as a member of a fallen human race that you have no good within yourself except what the Lord gives you? Only by the grace of God are you here, and you've repented for past sins, done what you can to amend them. Have you accepted in a very personal manner Jesus Christ as your Savior to rely upon Him?
Yes.
Have you made a commitment of a full consecration to give the Lord all that you have, to seek to do His will and not your own will, to try to follow Him, His footsteps, to, as Jesus asked, if you will be His disciple, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him?
Yes.
On that basis, and answer those questions, I'm very happy to come to you and extend to you the right hand of fellowship. John, we appreciate your fellowship together over the past few months. The Lord guide and lead you, John. And as His promise is, I would never leave you nor forsake you. Rely upon that promise to Him. Joanne, I've gotten to know you somewhat, to the Tuesday night meeting especially. We appreciate very much your desire to serve the Lord. May that desire always be there. Take as your promise the one of Romans 8:28, that you know that all things are to your good, because you are called according to His purpose. Lord, bless you and direct you. You may be seated.